Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. The word for us on this day of Epiphany is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, beginning with the first verse, which again reads as follows. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is God's word. It's happened many times in our nation's recent history. There's a huge power failure. A whole city is shrouded in darkness. It lasts a number of days. And eventually, people start looting, smashing windows, walking away with TVs, stereo systems, whatever they can carry. In the dark, businesses were destroyed, not by hardened criminals, but by neighbors. Ordinary people who lived up the street, normally law-abiding citizens, but in the dark, something took over. There's something dangerous about darkness. Everyone knows it. It hardly needs to be explained. Countless stories have been spun off of the theme, don't go out there in the dark. In those stories, the bad guys wear black hats or capes. They're trying to dominate from their dark fortresses. Human nature figures out pretty quickly that if you don't want to get caught, use the cover of darkness. And darkness can also refer to people whose circumstances in life are anything but bright and optimistic. And this kind of darkness differs from one person to the next. It can be the darkness of poverty or hunger. For another person, darkness means struggling with an illness or the aches and pains of old age, losing the struggle with failing abilities. And for some, darkness is the inevitable day when they lose a loved one through death. Whatever is your temptation, that is your darkness. Hatred, greed, not caring how your actions affect others, all the things that Satan, the prince of darkness, brings into our lives. Make no mistake, there is darkness inside of us. It is the darkness of sin. How does that darkness manifest itself in your life? Sometimes the darkness can become so thick that we have difficulty seeing the mess that sin has made in our lives. The problem with darkness is that it is very easy to get used to. There's an old story about a desert nomad who woke up in the middle of the night feeling very hungry, so he lit a candle and began eating fruit from a bowl beside his bed. He took a bite from one piece, and he looked and he saw a worm in it. So he threw it out of the tent. He took the second piece of fruit from the bowl and bit into it. There was a worm in that piece of fruit as well. Reasoning that he wouldn't have any fruit left to eat if he continued, He blew out the candle and quickly ate the rest. Sometimes people prefer darkness. They continue in old ways because they don't like what the light reveals. That their relationship with God is in terrible shape and they are in serious trouble. John's Gospel says, from chapter 3, verse 19, this is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. The Old Testament lesson today from Isaiah reminds us that light has come. And it's come from the Lord. It is shining on all people, and this new light chases away all shadow. Now, when the light of the Lord arrives, two major things happen. The closer this light comes, the more it exposes the darkness in your life, and the more you feel its warmth and its life-giving properties. During this Christmas season, I was reminded that our poinsettias at home needed plenty of direct light in order to thrive and grow. And if they got it, they would. And if they didn't, they wouldn't. In this regard, we are no different. Without God's light, we wither and die, and it doesn't take long. The benefit of being in God's light is that something new starts growing. And it's beautiful. Isaiah, in this passage, is talking about people from all nations being drawn from the darkness to the light. And the prophet, of course, is setting up for us the visit of the wise men. But that's not all. You and I are part of the all nations that the prophet was talking about. We are direct beneficiaries of the promise. The light came to a singular place and time, but it has never stopped shining. And what exactly does this light consist of? Isaiah told us when he recorded the words, "I, the Lord, will be your eternal light." And about 6 centuries later, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." Prophecy, fulfillment. Jesus is the light. His presence exposes those dark private corners of our hearts that we prefer to keep hidden. Everything is not as neat and tidy as we pretend. There's a mess that needs to be cleaned up, and though we've tried to hide the garbage in the darkest and most private nooks and crannies, the light of Jesus has shown us that there is stuff piled up there that needs cleaning out. Our temptations and secret sins, our faults that we would prefer not to admit to, the poor way that we have treated the people we love, the selfish attitude that we've nurtured, the times that we've preferred to look the other way rather than offer a helping hand. But the light, Jesus, has come into the world not to condemn, not to rub our noses in the dirt of our dark corners, but to sweep them out, to bring healing, reconciliation. This light is freely yours. Jesus is the genuine light who changes things, who exposes things, who cleans things, who gives growth and spiritual health. He is forgiveness, hope, a word of love. He is strength, and He is light who guides along life's journey when we have more questions than answers. He is the light that dispels the darkness of guilt with His forgiveness, who dispels the darkness of fear, even and especially when we take our last breath. For He is the light of eternal life. Wherever there is darkness, in our family, in our friendships, in our community, Christ has come to shed light on those areas of our life, to restore harmony and joy and fellowship. Wherever there is darkness in our nation or the world at large, Christ enables us to let our light shine before people, to use whatever means is at our disposal to relieve the suffering of others, to drive out the darkness that enshrouds so many. We're to let our light, the light of Christ, shine through us, to reflect off of us, so that hopelessness and despair might be dispelled. When the wise men finally bowed before Jesus, they realized that the brilliance of the star that they had followed was just foreshadowing. Nothing compares to the light that God has sent in His Son Jesus. Every light on every Christmas tree, every candle in every church points to this light of goodness, the light that gives life and strength, the light that reveals the way forward. And this light is a person. This light is God's Son. Leave the darkness behind. Would you please pray with me? Lord, when You look on us in love, at once there falls from God above a ray of purest pleasure. Your Word and Spirit, flesh and blood, refresh our souls with heavenly food. You are our dearest treasure. Let Your mercy warm and cheer us. Oh, draw near us, for You teach us God's own love through You has reached us. Amen.